Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everybody, welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. We are so sorry that we're late today. We had some technical difficulties, so we were unable to connect until this point. So that is why our show is beginning a little bit late. And anyway, we're here now, Friday. And today, Neil, I believe we're discussing how past lives show up in our current incarnation. And we're taking your calls for on-air readings. 914-338-0164 is our call-in number. And do you want to take our caller that's been waiting
here for quite a long time? How many callers did we lose?
Well, I'm not sure. But anyway, I'm sure people will come back. But let's take this caller and then we'll get into our topic. Hi. Are you there, caller?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
My name's Melinda.
Oh, is this Melinda?
Yes.
From Nebraska?
From Nebraska.
Hi,
yes.
Melinda.
Hello. I'm so glad I got in on this call.
I'm so sorry we were late. My computer was really acting up. I had a spinning wheel. I don't know if you have a Mac, but that's what happened.
Yes, I've seen the wheel.
It's like, there's no way to escape it once it gets in that state. So we were lucky to be able to get on anyway. So, Melinda, can you remind us of your birth date, please?
7/28/76.
7/28/76.
Yes, I've got that two between that 7 and that 8.
I'm sorry, say that again. It sounds a little bit. There is good. Whatever you just did.
Okay. I said I have a 2 between my 7 and my 8.
Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. A 2 between the 7 and the 8. And what's going on?
Right now, I am seeing like a lot of changes in my relationships. I think just a lot of like what doesn't serve me is falling away. What I'm seeing.
Okay. And do you have a specific question about that?
Just general guidance about where I am headed.
Okay. General guidance about where you're headed. Well, you know, the first thing, we probably talked about this, you know, she talked to you off the air, Neil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and her name is spelled Maelynda. I don't know if you have that spelling, but because you're 40 years old right now, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're going through a big change, you know, starting in July of 2016. And that's going to continue until your 41st birthday. So it's a year of significant change for you. And so it sounds like things are falling away, and that's kind of,
very much.
You know,
yes.
It's a good change, I think, for, you know, rather than a negative change. If the things that are falling away from you that aren't serving you are going, then it's a positive change. So you're moving into a transcendent phase of your life on a good note rather than a bad note. Neil, as far as, you know, what you see for her coming up.
Well, when we look deeply at your birth date, Melinda, notice there's a 7 in your first seven, and it's followed by a two. Your second seven is followed by a six. Two and six equals eight, which happens to be your third number. Now, in essence, if you're looking at this, we have the seven, which is a lot of strong spirituality going on. Mm-hmm. But if we look at the two and the six, which is at that point a broken up eight, we're looking at relationship. You said changes in your relationship. And the six, we're looking at vision, the way you're seeing things. That negative things are falling off, that things are changing. When we put two and six together and we get eight, we get a transcendent energy going. Meaning that you're moving through your old karma, and significantly enough, because you're 40 and that's your karmic number, and you're about to encounter a seven, meaning spirituality, with vision intact. So positive thinking, positive energy, actualizing your goals upon visualizing them. All of this is going to be very important for you, and it can't be contingent on whether you get immediate results or not.
Right.
In fact, you know, you have to, the steadfast faith quality is very important here. The fact that your master number is four, though, and four is hidden in your birth date, it's hidden actually in the 76 of your year. 7 plus 6, 13, 1 plus 3 equals 4. So the balance, the fulfillment of the heart, it's all forthcoming as you apply spirituality with a visual energy, third eye of, you know, faith, integrity, things like that. So that's what's most important to you. And the reason you're seeing some of these negative things falling off is simply because you're moving out of the karmic element. You're getting more into a transcendent phase.
Okay. So just more confirmation that I'm on the right path.
Yes. You have to realize, though, that being on the right path still, you can be on the right road to your destination, but that doesn't mean there still aren't traffic violations and bad drivers and things like that. You're on the right road, but you need to be aware of the road itself.
Right, because that vision, the six and the spirituality can turn negative if she's not careful, which would cause a disruption in the transcendent energy that she's in. So keeping that on a positive note is important.
Things you want to watch out for would be someone with a drinking problem coming into your life and you getting swept into their world thinking you're helping them or you're falling in love or anything like that. You'd have to be careful there.
Any negative characters that might be in your life that should be exited out from the past. You know, anybody main, you know, on that level.
Right. Okay.
Is there someone you're in a relationship with right now?
Well, I've been in a long-term, off-again, on-again relationship, but it's not, there's no commitment to it. But when you said something about drinking, there is somebody that has come back. It was just somebody from high school. And I think that, you know, there may be an interest there. And so that kind of resonated with me that, you know, where you said that it could turn negative, you know,
so
it kind of piqued my attention.
Is this person drinking now? Is he a drinker?
Yeah, he has admitted to me that he is an alcoholic.
Oh, I would run. You know?
Run.
That's not the relationship that you want. I mean, that's not a transcendent relationship. You're going back into a karmic situation by connecting with someone with those types of problems. And you don't need to take them on in your journey forward. You know, I would... That would be my recommendation.
The situation, the situation that's happening, Melinda, you said there's an possible interest there. That interest is involved in your negative two. There's no doubt that you're going to have an interest sexual and otherwise, with people. That's not the surprise. So what? So you have an interest with them. What you have to consider are healthy choices now.
Right, and she said that this was a person from her past, high school. So you're going back into your karma. I mean, that's, you know,
so if you,
the time before you're 40.
Yeah.
High school.
I'll tell you, if you engage further with this person on a romantic level or thinking you can control it, I can almost guarantee you you're going to have some bad experiences coming up.
Okay.
But, you know, you might not care about that. You might want to experience it. But it wouldn't be advisable.
Not really.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I want.
Just real quick, regarding the person that you're in a relationship with that you said is on again and off again, there's no serious commitment. What's the nature of that relationship?
It's very negative. He's incarcerated and just will not make a commitment. And, you know, I mean, I know that's a very karmic relationship that needs to go, and I keep trying to end it, and he keeps trying to come back, and I keep trying to end it, and he keeps trying to come back.
Right. Well, the positive part of him being incarcerated is him coming back. I mean, is he incarcerated for, like, life?
No.
I mean, how long?
11 more years.
11 more years. Okay, well, that's not life, but, you know, it's a limitation. I know that women do have relationships with men, and men have relationships with women that are incarcerated when they're not incarcerated. What's he in prison for?
Murder.
Yeah, I mean, this is not, that's not, you know, that being in a relationship like that, I don't want to cast aspersions toward this individual, because, you know, who knows what his status is regarding innocence or guilt, but moving forward into a relationship that's a transcendent relationship is not going to be going back or establishing something with someone who's in prison. And you have kids too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, as far
what
as
was
being
the circumstances around the murder,
what were the circumstances around the murder?
Well, I mean, my understanding is that, you know, he was framed, that he was definitely, like, associated with the people, that there was an association, but
was it
that
drugs or robbery or?
Yeah, how did it occur? Do you know the circumstances around the actual event? I mean, what was the reason for the murder? Was someone being robbed, or was there an altercation over drugs?
An altercation over drugs and money. Yeah.
Well, here's your problem. Your problem is what the word you said. He keeps coming back, and I'm trying to separate. So, your trying is the culprit.
Just cut it off.
As long as you're trying, you know, that's a poison word for you right now, trying. You do it or you don't.
And, you know, the thing is, this is a significant time where you can make a change because of the karmic age of 40 that you're at, you know, and deciding to stay in a karmic, I mean, that is not a positive relationship to be in for you. I mean, I do not get that it's a positive relationship. And if you go back into karma, that's what's going to be manifested, you know, in a negative aspect in your life. You don't want that. You know.
Right.
So, you know, these are things you need to think about, Melinda.
Does she have a response? I mean, because she seems to be a little bit hesitant, or, you know, something's pulling you back into his clutches, obviously.
I just care, you know. I feel like I'm abandoning him, and I have abandonment issues, so I don't like to feel like I'm abandoning people.
Yeah.
Well, you know, those issues may be real, but if you keep defining it as abandonment, you might run into trouble. There's an attitude of moving forward and moving on, and taking responsibility for that, and letting everybody be independent factors when the energy calls for it. you know, your sense of abandonment there, if your life is being stopped by this sense of commitment, then there's going to be something obviously controversial about your energy moving forward. The feeling of abandonment proves that you do care. You have a personal experience with abandonment, and you're a person that is sensitive to those conditions. But still, that doesn't mean that you can't be healthy and strong at the same time. It doesn't mean that you stop caring about him or stop praying for him. But in the element of moving forward, sometimes decisions have to be made that are tough. There's no judgment passed on
the person. I do
understand
that. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not passing judgment on the person. You know, he's serving his time.
No. And he may be innocent or may be guilty. I mean, that's not a judgment we're making either. But, you know, he's in a very complicated, compromising situation in his life. And your involvement, yes, I mean, you feel like you want to take care of him, but you've got yourself to take care of and your children. You have, I mean, from an outsider's perspective, what's the best thing for you and your family and your emotional and mental health? Probably not investing in a relationship with someone who can't even be fully involved in a relationship because of the fact that they're, you know, locked away somewhere.
Right.
Well, not locked away. They're incarcerated.
That's what incarcerated is. They're.
If he wants you to stay committed to him, that's a big package on your life. And 11 years is a long time, and you're 40. And sometimes letting go is healthy. Understanding that, you know, it's also his part to say, you know, I'm here and you're there, and I have to take the responsibility of letting you go, you know, so that you can go on with your life, your world. Sometimes that's important. Karma can be a tough thing.
It can be very compelling and pull you towards a person in a way that is difficult to escape. But karma does not mean you're supposed to be with the person that you're karmically connected to.
If you said, I'm committed to this person, totally. I don't care. He's in jail. I don't care. I love him. I support him. And I'm prepared to go on this journey. I want to. That's one thing. But when you say, I'm trying to get away, that's not the same energy. And that presents a conflict. So you have to choose your tables here. You're either fully committed to this person because that's your life, that's your energy, and you love it. You want it that way. You take the other side and you say, I have to let go.
Right.
And, you know, if you said to us, I'm totally committed to this person and I love him and I want to stay with this journey, we wouldn't be talking to you this way. But
right.
You presented
well,
to us.
My issue is that I don't feel that I know that the commitment is not returned. So,
what do you mean?
Why would I stay?
So wait, he's not committed to you. Say there's like, are there other women or something like that?
Yeah.
It's real clear. At least to me,
he's
probably communicating with other women, right? Is he communicating with other women?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you, Melinda, you deserve better than that. You deserve better than
that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think reasoning with him is going to really change him. And he doesn't sound like he's admitting to you that there are other women. He's just saying, I'm not going to make a commitment.
No, he's not admitting to it. He just backs away from me and then comes back when he thinks things are calmed down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's not honest, obviously. So, I mean, then, you know, you have to question, well, how honest is he in saying he's innocent of this crime that he committed? I mean, you know, and it sounds like right now, I mean, you have this relationship that you've established with this guy that has been on and off. But then again, there's a karmic person coming into your life. So you're stuck with these karmic characters when you need to be moving into something totally transcendent in, you know, and out, I mean, there can be karmic connections with people, but there can be a higher transcendent connection as well with people that you're karmically attached to. These guys, forget it.
Okay. So how do, what is it that I need to do to move into a higher ascendance with somebody?
Well, I think being clear personally, I mean, Neil will give his take on what he thinks you should do too. But I would say, first of all, cutting ties with people that are not suitable. And if someone is being dishonest with you, if someone has an alcohol problem, being very clear and saying, I'm not going to accept this in my life or have a connection with anybody, and cut it off. That's the first thing. I mean, for anything to open up in the future, you've got to cut the tie first, or you're going to stay in a negative zone. I mean, what would you say, Neil?
Well, I would totally agree with that. You have to be healthy enough to set your standards and to set your boundaries. And at this point in your life, when you're saying, you know, you're trying to let go of negative things and toxic things, you have to follow through on that and not let your heart rule over your mind. This is a matter of the mind and rational thinking and being clear and making sure that you are protecting your environment just as though you were protecting a child's environment. You know, you wouldn't, if you had a child and he had a best friend who was a heroin addict, and you said, well, you know, it's okay because I understand he had a rough life and I'll let my child play with him. You know,
right.
You have to look at your own inner, you know, you have to look at your own inner self. Aside from your sentiments and your emotions, you have to be clear and you have to be strong. And so the first rule of thumb is to look at yourself. Don't look at him and his conditions right now. Look at your conditions and the standards you're setting and see how far you deviate from that as your emotions and your sentiments start to invade on your rational thinking. And that might be giving you some sense of clarity as to how to protect your boundaries and to move forward. You have a journey to go on. Is it going to be a toxic journey or a healthy journey?
Right.
You know, and that doesn't make you a bad person if you choose healthy over toxic. It doesn't make you any less emotional, any less
care, or right, exactly.
No.
Any less caring. And, you know, Melinda, I mean, sometimes I feel like when we give advice on the show that, you know, we're coming from kind of a you know, we don't want to be perceived as though we're, you know, doling out advice from a place where we're not empathetic or we haven't ourselves been in positions where we've had to make hard choices and been faced with challenging decisions. I mean, this is, you know, we're right there with you in terms of what you're facing, even though our paths may have been different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So it's not like, you know, we've had it easy and we're here, you know, thinking that we're, you know, preachers that are, you know, on some moral kind of judgment. So anyway.
Okay, thank you.
Well, does that
really cleared it up for me? Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel before we go on here to our topic? I don't want to leave you upset. You sound like you're crying.
I am upset, but I have had to make choices in the past where I have decided to love somebody from further away for my own health. So I understand that, you know.
Well, okay. So, you know, stay in touch and, you know, nurture your support systems. And we, you know, hope for the best for you.
Yeah.
You're always welcome to call back.
You're always welcome to call back. Or if you want to call again, Melinda, off the show, you may do that too. We're here for you.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care, Melinda.
I will. You too.
Thank you.
Yeah. Tough choices.
Yeah.
When we come into the world, we tend to forget, maybe it's due to the elevation of our consciousness, but we tend to forget that we are we are also on a journey from past lives, which pertains to our topic, because we are a we're just not here on a first footing. Obviously, we have a journey that we've come from, and those of us who go deeper into a deeper sense of pre-existence and contribute past life energies to our lives, we are the continuation of who we have been and who we are continuing to become. So that's why sometimes, you know, in families, there's that person, oh, you know, so-and-so is so talented, we don't know where it comes from. Or so-and-so is so athletic, but nobody in the family is like that. We come from different zones of energy, and that's what makes us unique as human beings, because we're just not
right.
Our energy is just not genetic. It's not
right.
Just hereditary.
That's what people, and that I was going to mention that in today's show, because, you know, sometimes you have a family full of, you know, athletes, and it's people say, well, you know, it's in the blood. But then you have those circumstances where someone is like an anomaly in the family. And then how do you explain that? So it's not just DNA genetics, environment that causes a person to be who they are from, you know, from the time they come out of the womb.
Correct. I mean, some things are, you know, people should look at their lives as soon as they come onto the earth. What are the conditions?
That's true. Well, right when they come out.
Right when they come out.
You know, at 7 pounds, 4 ounces, they're examining. Why?
Yeah.
Why am I here?
Why?
Well,
yeah.
It takes a little longer, obviously.
It should only be so easy. But upon looking back, you know, when you get to a certain age, and you have the ability to start to analyze your life and reflect, because we are reflective creatures, even more so than animals, which maybe learn from survival instincts, but we reflect, we contemplate, we ponder, and we start to revisit our past. That's what makes us unique as human beings. And when you're doing that, when you look back at your life when you're a certain age, you go, you know, what was going on? What kind of family was I born into? What kind of structure was in the family background? Where did we live? What was the nature of the household? How many brothers and sisters did I have?
Yeah, what were the cultural
what was I going
influences
through
in my
formative years? These are all fresh off the boat of a past life, which may also include the accumulation of past lives, all kind of put together into kind of a hobo stew. You know, we're traveling and we're here and we're putting all the products of our past lives into
hobo
this one
stew.
You know, that's what
good
it
one. Yeah, it's funny.
Hobo
it
stew is, for those who don't know, you know, the hobos used to just put anything together. They had hobo camps. And when they would put anything together and put it into a big pot and eat it, and it was pretty good. It was pretty good. You know, but the idea, that's where it comes from, because in a, you know, kind of in a romantic sense, we are all on that railroad. We're all on that stage of life where we're coming from someplace. We stop. We interconnect, we live a life, and then we get back on the train again. And that's kind of what it's like for us on an earthly presence. But when we're in that camp, when we're in the element of life, that's when we start to tell our stories to one another, how we start to talk about past lives and the stories of our lives and our experiences and our relationships and our jobs and our families. That's the camp of life where we start to engage and begin to tell our new story or our current story, which obviously comes from a past and which ultimately leads to a future.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, you know, gaining perspective within the process of life, and we encounter these karmic people from our past, but having the insight and to know when we're falling into a karmic trap, or we're actually on a transcendent path, even if it involves some kind of karmic note. You know, the thing is, Neil, we're writing this book and it's going to be very dense and there's so much going into it, including these ideas about past life and what influences a person to become what they are. If parents had some kind of guidebook for training their children and people, you know, in the perspective of raising youngsters, would know these secrets and be able to enlighten their children on their path, you know, it would be a much different, I think people would have a much better chance at moving through karma that is negative and into a more wholesome, enlightened path.
Yeah, you know, it's too bad. I mean, there should be some sort of metaphysical section of school where we can start to legitimize some of these premises about past lives and psychic abilities. And I mean, we'd have to go to alternative forms of education and schooling to understand that.
Even if parents on their own had a guidebook to change the consciousness of those that are being raised. So yeah, I mean, a metaphysical class for the parents, but if, you know, they could impart that wisdom to their children.
I think when we get into some of our teachers and our mentors, you know, people who are wise, who have a depth of perception and they're wise counsels. Sometimes when we're growing up and we're surrounded by these people, sometimes they're grandmothers, grandfathers, uncles, and sometimes they can be parents, friends, teachers. We absorb from them in their dialogue a certain sense of knowingness. And we take it to mean that, well, they're experienced, they've lived a life, or they've learned a lot. But there's always the idea that a life itself has a beginning, a middle, and an end. But that's not where it stops. When we are here living in our lifetime, and yet everything around us is a product of the past. Discovery, experiment, the formation of developing something from an idea to an invention to getting a patent on it. Everything around us that we think is contemporary, even if it is sort of has maybe an antique quality to it, everything comes from a long, long history before we ever got here. Even if we look at a simple door to our home, you know, before it was a cave with just an open entrance, then we develop a structure of a home and we put a door to it and we start to define what a house is. Everything comes with a sense of history around us. And I think that when we look at our own housing, our human beingness of who we are as people, as human beings, we begin to understand how it was constructed.
Right, and how we evolve from that point.
Where it comes from.
Of course.
You know, we can look at it on a historical level, but if we consider that precious aspect of the soul and the spirit, which is encased in the body, but which has its own entity level, then we start to have to understand what is the concept of the journey outside of the body, not just within the body. And where has our soul been? And what journeys has it gone on? Where have I lived before? What am I drawn to? What countries? What foods? What interests? What music? What books? And when we get into that element, even of traveling, and we start to feel we've been somewhere before, or there's a place on the earth that's drawing us to that location, we have to really start to consider and investigate aspects of past lives.
Right. So you're talking about getting into the soul and the examples that you gave were, you know, kind of earthly physical examples. What do we like? What do we dislike? What are our talents? Where do we want to go? But connecting those earthly experiences or likes or dislikes to your soul and starting to investigate what has the journey of the soul been is going to be more enlightening than staying on that earthly level.
Yeah. And, you know, some of us come into the earth a little bit more evolved than others, if you will. And so our consciousness is more positioned towards the idea of knowing, of pondering the universe and pondering past life.
Right. Which is going to be a product of the past life, whether we come in more mental or more physical.
Yeah. Because there's different layers. You know, we have our physical, emotional, mental layers, spiritual layers. When we get into the idea that we're trying to figure out the conversation with our soul, with our spirit, we have a great journey that we can go on in terms of dreams. Dreams is the one time when we really get to talk to our soul, our spirit. And we can analyze dreams and start to, and that's why dream journals are so important, because we have to look at our dreams as one of two things. Is it our dream within our mind, like a psychological dream? Or did our soul and our spirit actually come out and speak to us and take us along on a journey outside of the body while we were in our sleeping beds and take us to places that we are not that familiar with, because they are coming from other realms and other dimensions? So that's the one of the first positions of dialoguing with your soul and your spirit, as much as the clear visualizations and the past life regressions that we go through on more of a conscious, constructive level, to where we begin to understand some of the energy fields. A lot of times when we do readings with people, we'll mention something just cold turkey in the reading. We just go right
cold
there.
Turkey.
To,
I don't think,
cold, yeah. Reading.
Cold turkey. We didn't give up anything in the reading.
Well,
we went cold turkey in the reading. We just stopped doing it. Well, no, what you're saying, it's a cold hit.
Yeah. And we begin to mention things that the subject will say, my God, I always had an interest in that. And I never told anybody that, but I've always had this interest in that, or that, or it's a secret hobby. And no one's ever told me that. And it started to open up the idea that maybe it's because I had a past life there, or had a past life involving the topic. And so in that regard, there's a sense of validation that can be established by the benefit of doing a reading with a person that is, you know, at least has some talent in terms of reading the soul and the spirit at any given moment, and discovering what that energy is. But you have to understand too that with past lives, as entertaining as they can be and as colorful and beautiful as they can be, past lives also bring with us karma. And that karma becomes intermingled in our lives as we live and breathe during our everyday existence.
Right. And if you're uneducated or unskilled in the metaphysical realm, which many people are, I mean, it takes a great deal of training and dedication to really know that world. It can be, you know, you can fall into pitfalls with negative karma, not knowing what is, what you're supposed to connect with versus what you're supposed to let go of.
Yeah, karma, some of it, it's so deeply imprinted that there's nothing we can do about it. When we first come into the world.
Right, like you can't change your location. You can't change your parents, who you're born with, the family you're born into, your surroundings. There's no way you can do that as an infant. You have the family that you're assigned to. Period.
Correct. I mean, there's this misconception that we choose
our parents.
We choose our parents. I mean, if we choose our parents, what if they didn't choose us? I mean, it's not even
ridiculous.
Logical that we are so ego-bound that the choices we made for our lives means that everybody around us has
right.
to be involved in that, in our choice.
Right. And the same goes for, you know, choosing to come to the planet to experience whatever the planet has to offer. You know, there are a lot of people that believe that that's our choice. It isn't. People, I don't think, when they're in the spirit body, want to come back to the planet. They don't, because this is a planet of karma. It's a planet of duality.
So,
and
that's true.
Unless you're
election
you know, and
but,
you're being,
but
that's
yeah.
for the most part.
The whole idea that about this choice, we make our choices and we're here. Well, we might have made those choices in a past life.
Right, in terms of the wrong choice.
Ultimately manifested in the world that
exactly.
we came into. So maybe there is a certain layer of the choices that we make become the conditions of our life. But those are still the allusion to that is that they were those choices were made in other lifetimes pertaining to certain events that occurred that we have to work through again, or certain things that we never finished that we have to accomplish.
Right.
Or certain points that we earned that then therefore become rewarding aspects of our lives.
Right. Okay. You know, we have a caller, Neil, and we can hold that thought for a moment and bring them on. And have that. 503.
Hi, this is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi. I wanted to ask a question about my relationship.
Okay. Barbara.
Okay. Yeah.
620. Real quick, where are you calling from?
Oregon.
And your birth date?
6/24/1969.
Where in Oregon are you calling from, if you don't mind?
Portland.
Up. Portland. Have we talked to you before?
Yeah, it's been about a year.
22. I'm not sure. There's a Barbara that we know that's on our Facebook, but I'm not sure if you're the same one. So that's
yes, that's
right.
Me. Yeah,
oh,
that's me.
Yeah, okay, good. Hi.
Yeah, hi.
Glad
so
to hear
I've
from
been
you,
dating this, thank you. I've been dating this person for about 13 months, and I'm wondering if you see this being a good thing long-term.
12,
do you
13.
Want his birthday?
Yes, we do, please.
Okay, it's 3/15/62.
3/15/1962. Well, there's that 13 going backwards. If you go backwards, 13 months that you've been dating is in this 3/1. Also in your accumulation of 6/24 and then the century is a 13. So it's, you know,
okay.
Sometimes things are timed without us knowing why we connect. And that's in the code, that 13 month period. 3/4/9/19. Did she say what's going on? I mean, how things are going? How
well,
are
we don't
they?
Want to know.
Do
we,
do you don't want to know? Hey, don't tell us. Never mind.
Okay.
7/8/9/19. 27. He's a 27/9, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's a 37/10/1.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well.
Well, you know what's kind of strange here too, Barbara. Just bear with me for a moment. When you look at his birthday, look at 3/1. That 3/1 is a 4, which is your third number. The 1/5 is a 6, which is your first number. And what's kind of happening here, I mean, he's a 9 and you're a 1.
And the years are interchangeable.
And that becomes a 10 or a 1, which involves certain aspects of your first and third numbers,
and
6 and 4.
And it's her karmic number. She's a 10.
Yeah, it becomes that karmic number. This is a past life relationship. And the years are interchangeable, too.
Yeah.
Your 6 to his 2 is 62, and his 6 to your 9 is 69. So there's that interchangeable factor. And so there is this element that the two of you have known each other before. Now, I believe that now, just for the purpose of moving into that past life, I believe that the two of you in a past life, I see you both being chain smokers. You were smoking a lot. So somewhere in the past life connection, it was a time when there were cigarettes. I also see in that past life connection, now this is past life, a fire. It was a fire that the both of you experienced within a home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's just say, you know, there was something tragic going on. Maybe you both were chain smokers and there was a fire that maybe you were smoking in bed or something. But that scene, that quick scene flashed by. And where does it bring us? Well, if there was a past life between the two of you and it resulted in a life maybe that was a little bit careless, even though you two might have loved each other, it ended in a sense of tragedy. So what it means is that in this lifetime, there's going to be some surrounding tragic elements that maybe aren't current, but they come with a sense of current history.
Is that, can she validate that?
In terms of our experience together, we haven't had any tragedy.
But
no,
is
not,
there any?
No. And this, that was last, that was
the last
lifetime.
But like separately, has there been a tragic, any tragedy in either one of your lives preceding the relationship?
Not in the relationship, but sure. I mean, loss of parents. I mean, if that can be considered tragedy.
Loss of parents.
Well, somebody born in 62 and 69, losing a parent that early would be more or less kind of tragic. And so, you know, if you lose a parent, to me, if you lose a parent in your 40s, 30s, 40s, 20s, 30s, 40s, even early 50s, that's pretty early.
Yeah.
Now, did you lose a parent?
I lost a parent last year, but he lost his father, well, even before he died. So that to me feels like a tragic situation.
Yeah, that position could be somewhat the idea of losing a home, being in a car accident, any other accidents along those lines.
Not that I can think of.
Okay.
So the element here is losing a parent early in life. Well, that might be some measurable aspect as to what is happening. The other one would be that I can't remember, Barbara, have you been divorced?
Yes.
Yeah. So with compounded people comes basically more or less the attitude that there's going to be a divorce in the lifetime. And so was there at least one child that occurred from that marriage?
Yes.
So are you at all, at this point, estranged from any of your children?
No.
So there's
no,
still
the
a close...
No, relationships are good.
Yeah, how about with the ex-husband? How about with the ex-husband?
No. No, the relationships there are good, and even between us, it's good.
So the divorce occurred more or less... The divorce that occurred, if you look at the long journey of that, everyone's still somewhat intact and no one really dramatically suffered from that divorce other than the obvious, you know, breakup.
Right. Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
So does this man come from having any sense of a hurt relationship that tore him apart upon the breaking of it?
Yes.
Now those elements, when we get into the greater depth of analyzing the relationship, that's where the two of you are meeting on common ground. Of course, the dissolution of a marriage with children is as maybe healthy in the long run, but it still mm-hmm. comes to that tragic. That's not what you planned when you married them.
But it sounds sure. like the tragedy has, I mean, it's really softened from, you know, a devastating fire to what's occurred in this life. So that's
yeah,
I would say.
She's got a 9 in her.
You know,
in her year, it's very resiliency is fabulous. So the two of you share a common story of loss to some extent.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
But with that comes out a flavor of heart and compassion. Would you agree with that
yeah.
between the two of you?
Yes, absolutely.
And from that equals love.
Yeah.
So what we're looking at is the buildup of a tragedy that has its surrounding circumstances presently that morphs into an attitude of compassion and love and heart. Those are the elements, and briefly speaking, those are the elements that we read on the first level of our interpretation with this man, between you and this man.
Okay. So on a karmic level, in this example, the rejoining of the relationship is a positive one. It's not a karmic relationship that she should end, because there is somewhat of a renewal of whatever happened in that past life level to help correct the karma.
Okay. Okay. So does this feel like it's a good thing going forward, that there's... that it's a good match long term?
It can be
there's
a very
potential.
Good match, yes. Because he's a 9 and you're a 10. You were his number. You were his master number previous to the one
nine.
You are now.
You were 36-9 in your last life. And should he come back, he would be 28-10-1, which would be your number now. So you
yeah.
guys are one apart.
So
okay.
To answer your question briefly, it can be a very good thing. It can be a very good thing.
Okay.
You know, aside from the former caller, you weren't here, but aside from the former caller, there's more hope in this relationship as it stands today than less hope. Are you on a hopeful note with him?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what we're supporting. That's what we're saying about you. Also, there's something real before we leave. This strange symbol of cookies, home-baked cookies, something about cookies. What is that?
Oh, I don't know. He has a pretty strong sweet tooth, but
That could be it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe something might resonate with him, and you could sneak it into a conversation.
Okay.
You could say, you know, a psychic
sure.
or something. But but you know, there's something about cookies. I don't know what it
okay.
is. And who has the dog?
I do.
Ah, okay. So
yeah.
that
just... give your dog cookies.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not the psychic advice, but the dog would probably like that, so we should probably get that in there for the dog.
Okay,
Barbara. Well, hopefully that helps.
Thank you.
Okay,
it is helpful.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Take good care. 562-596-7818 is the number for further conversation. We're out of time. We're over, in fact. So we are back on the air on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everyone.